Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and the hope that we have when we know Jesus and put our faith in Him. Father, give us the understanding to faithfully serve you as our God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we pray in Jesus' name, Amen. So many people have seen stress and trouble in 2021, and now we look forward to 2022. Being a better year. Just like you, I wonder what the new year will bring. What a lot of different opinions there are about what people see as coming to us. People think it'll be good. People think it won't be good. Who knows? Well, there are people who quote scripture and they talk about the blessings that are coming. But only God truly knows what is coming. For us people, we can only guess. And I think about what is coming. Benjamin Franklin said, "In this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes." And what about after that? Well, Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." Well, we follow the Bible and our relation to Jesus Christ, and that puts us into heaven. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says about heaven, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him in Jesus." Yeah, so John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he that loveth me." Well, we sure get a pretty good idea what the scriptures say, but how do we put them together and apply them to our lives? We understand things with our heart. We understand things with our mind. And that's good. That's good. But we get to put it into practice and figure out how we do God's will here on earth. And I understand that everything's about a personal relation with Jesus Christ. And the Bible helps us to understand that relation. God's Word, the Bible, tells us about God, tells us about Jesus and the Holy Ghost. And God's Word does not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So we have that hope. We have that consistency in our life when we know Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We have heard plenty of testimonies about what happens in the afterlife, or I have. All you have to do is look at them. Look them up. It's interesting to hear what people say, and you seek out the uniformity of the statements, and you get the idea that heaven is a very wonderful place indeed. A friend of mine tells a story when he and his wife were visiting an acquaintance, and they were at a meeting, and one of them learned about the other's heavenly experience. So the wife and this acquaintance had a talk about what happened to them when they were young children. And one of them said, "Wasn't it amazing how the floor was solid gold and then you could look right through it?" And they both had that experience of somehow being in that heavenly place and seeing that the floor was gold and yet you could see right through it. So they had that very brief talk, and I brought this up because of that eye has not seen nor ear heard about the wonders of heaven. And it is interesting that we have testimonies about what the wonders are in heaven. It's astoundingly beautiful. And on the other hand, there are a few people who tell about their experience of being in hell. And it's a horrid place. And they tell you about what happens. And those people who tell you about that experience, they quickly become followers of Jesus Christ. And often enough, they become pastors. Well, it's an interesting thing about what happens in the afterlife. It's an interesting thing thinking about what we do here in life and what is coming in the next year, even. Life. We all have experienced people who have died in our life. And so that reminds us that we want to seek relation with God Jesus and to be sure that our afterlife is in that heavenly place and not hell. I remember in my late teens, probably the first person who I knew who died was a teenager. He had a car accident and died in that car accident. And a couple of years after that, two other young men who I knew in school, they had a car accident and died. A few years after that, my grandparents died. Death is not an experience that we have when we're young. We don't know people who died. But as we experience life and death, death is a reminder of how temporary life is and how important it is to have our afterlife secured in Jesus. And now, for the last couple of years, we do know people who have died more and more. It's that COVID thing. That's what they say. Well, what they say is that they had COVID when they died, and in very few cases did COVID cause the death. You think I'm looking at details too much? Well, maybe it is, but when we are seeking out the truth, you have to look at the details to find out what is true. Maybe you've heard the example of a motorcyclist who smashed his head in and he died. Later they found there was COVID in his body, so he was called a COVID death. Because apparently the hospitals receive more reimbursement when there is a COVID death than a different kind of a death. So it's one of those things that is going on when we are seeking to have truth and understanding in life. About death, I looked up in Google the categories of death. Death, 3 million deaths a year in the United States. Well, it's just under. It's like 2.85. And of those, 620,000 deaths are from heart disease. 600,000 100,000 were from cancer, and over 100,000 were from drug overdoses. 100,000 deaths were from diabetes. And then for the COVID deaths. Well, this number changes. It's most interesting to look at. One number says 76,000 COVID deaths in the USA last year. But another count says that there was 385,000 COVID deaths. And then there's another count that says 800,000 deaths related to COVID. Now, we're really looking at this to try to figure out what it means, and really, I'm not sure who makes these statistics and what they're counting, but it is amazing to have such a variety of numbers. One says 76,000 COVID deaths, and the other says 800,000 COVID-related deaths. Well, I guess it depends on what you're really looking at. The details make a difference. Did that motorcyclist who smashed his head, did he really die of COVID? No. But we have to look at these things and try to understand them. If we just listen to what people tell us, it's very confusing. I remember that my dad would tell me this, that figures don't lie, but liars figure. And I guess you can certainly see that that's true when you look at the COVID numbers. It is so hard sometimes to try to understand the reality of what you're looking at. We look a little deeper into so many things and we find there is manipulation everywhere. And I want to report what is accurate, but it's not always easy to look things up and find out what is true and what is not true. Occasionally, I even have a little mistake, which I did on the last broadcast. On the last broadcast, it was all good, except I found out afterwards that I was speaking about, in the last minutes of that broadcast, I was speaking about the United Nations Agenda 21 program. And it is called Agenda 21 because it is intended to be the plan for the 21st century. And in that plan, everything is counted and accounted for and put into its own place. And they rely on government rules and regulations to do this. Oh, let's see. So, on that broadcast, I started to tell you about that mistake that I made. I called it something the Wetlands Project, but its name is the Wildlands Project. And it's a part of the Agenda 21 program to have lands set aside for wild animals. And those set aside lands, there would be no human use there, or there would be very, very little human use there. Well, that was the error I made. But about Agenda 21, it was presented to the world in 1992. And a couple of years after that, it was presented to our U.S. legislature to see if they could vote it into practice. And it turned out they did not vote it into practice because someone presented a map of all the land areas that would be restricted and human use would either be minimal or not even allowed in those areas of the United States. The man who put that map together was Michael S. Kaufman, and he was a conservative Christian gentleman. And thanks to him, this Agenda 21 did not get passed into law in the United States. It would have drastically influenced all the land use in the United States. The wildlife corridors going here to there would have just, it would have caused havoc. But I even got to meet Michael Kaufman. I have met a few people in my life that have made a difference in our world. And I think it's important to remember that each one of us has a little impact or a big impact with people we know and what goes on in life and in government. So Michael Kaufman put this map together and he made a change of what was certainly looking like Agenda 21 would have passed. But it didn't, thanks to him. Well, it didn't pass, but it is being implemented by many state and federal agencies. It's being implemented because the people in charge are in high places in government. They think that we need a plan like Agenda 21 because it will protect our Earth from people. And that is going on all over the place. Our regulations are lining up with the Agenda 21 policy because of the regulations that are put into place. Now, our government is doing this. The people in high places of our government are doing this. It's not like we voted to agree to do it, but these changes are happening. You know, I don't think any of us voted to require a building inspector to approve our water heater change. But if we change a water heater in quite a few places, it has to be inspected and we have to pay a fee for the permit. It's just these things are happening in the regulations that are all around us. Some places you even need to submit your house color if you're going to repaint your house. It's these things are getting in our lives and affecting everything, sometimes by laws and sometimes by title restrictions in our deeds. It's just the consequences of yes, living in a big populated area, but also that we are not following the certain ways that God prescribed. God talks about us having being a part of a community and having love and compassion for another. And when we do that, we don't get in each other's way. We are caring and loving people to each other. But there is conflict going on. In fact, there is spiritual warfare going on. And yes, it is Satan versus God, but we are in the battle too. Partly because Satan wants to hurt us people, and partly because we have our own things that we just want that are outside the will of God, and there are consequences. The spiritual war can even turn into a real guns and everything war. That's what happens with the spiritual warfare. It takes place in a physical earth with our reality. Happens all the time. We have conflicts. We have conflicts between neighbors or even between neighboring countries. And somehow we have to work things out in a way that is acceptable. The warfare is going on, and it is developing more and more ways to dominate another or just to win so that we are not dominated. I was thinking about China and how they had a hypersonic missile testing in August of 2020. Well, we believed it was a hypersonic missile testing right over the United States for one part of it, but China denied it. China denied that they had done it in August of 2020. And now, January of 2021, China has told the world that it has developed a new heat-seeking hypersonic missile. Thus, we know that China did, in all likelihood, I mean, what else could it have been, tested that hypersonic missile in August, but they denied it. Very interesting. Well, now China can target any military asset in the world. They can target our aircraft carriers or anything else that is military or civilian. So we have another form of tension that could go on in the world in 2022. It could be a turbulent year. We have new developments going on many levels. But I said about the spiritual battle. This is probably the biggest aspect of what goes on in our life because it influences everything else. And then we get consequences from our disobedience to God's laws and His will, His commandments. Ezekiel 14:13 has something to say about that, that because of persistent unrighteousness, there would be a famine in the land, a famine of God's word, and then a famine of bread. So it's something that certainly could go on in America because we have ignored so many things of God. Therefore, will there develop persistent unrighteousness? And there's an argument that it is certainly already here. Which way are we headed? Oh, we're headed towards consequences. And I think it is astounding how many people think that a passage out of the Bible does not apply to them, maybe because it's in the Old Testament, or maybe because of another reason. Somehow, we just don't think that we are subject to the same requirements that are in the Bible. We're exceptions, that's what they say. But no, we're not exceptions, and we know that consequences are coming. That is the biblical pattern, and by the way, that's the pattern in the world. In our world, the patterns show that we get consequences when governments and societies and individuals do things that are, well, they're immoral. In a Christian morality, and the Bible speaks against that, we will get consequences for all the things that are against God. Call it abortions, or a certain kind of marriage, or, well, there's just plenty of areas in the Bible that we are warned about not to do. Some of them are just plain outright and obvious, and some of them are subtle, as subtle as money. We do have a couple of things about money in the Bible, and it is talked about a great deal, but one of the examples is that money is always a metal coin. It is never fiat paper currency like we use today. Never. So we have a question of if we are being faithful to have fiat paper money. Well, that is stretching it a bit, but it is a real question. Our founders wondered about that too, and our Constitution says our money will be only gold or silver. They said in the original document that it would be specie, but that means a precious or semi-precious metal. But we have changed that in allowing paper money to be used, and we have changed that as we have had a Federal Reserve that created money out of nothing. Well, there's certainly many areas that we're not following the Bible, and we will have consequences. It's just as obvious as can be, even if we don't know what they are. We know consequences are coming because it's a historical fact. It's a biblical fact. I think about how people have made phone calls. You've got them too. In the last couple of months, I've got them. For instance, a person will say that they are from the IRS and they have a few questions for you. Or they might say that they're from Customs and Border Patrol and something, they're examining something. Or it might be a credit card company that is asking you to approve something. It might be an $800 charge. Or it might be somebody saying they're from the phone company asking you to approve a $48 charge. Well, yeah, these are things that have happened to me just in the last 2 months. The person calls and I ask them some questions. And now, in each one of these cases, as I tried to find out who they were, they hung up on me. But my point here is that people are lying all the time. And lying is, it's against the commandments. I think of that Revelation 21:8. Oh, it's also in 1 Timothy 1. Where liars will go to hell, the lake of fire. So we don't want to be a liar, but we do know that liars go to hell and that lying is going on all over the place in our society. Why? Because we have lost our basis of godliness. That's what our society is changing into now, an ungodly society. And so we know that there are going to be consequences as we live with ungodliness. Ephesians 5:11 tells us to turn from the unfruitful deeds of darkness and to expose them. What do? We turn to God's righteousness. That is what we do. Perhaps some of you have heard of Edmund Burke. He had a saying that he is famous for, that the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And we are seeing evil more and more in our society. Is it because we are doing nothing? Yes, and it's probably because there's fewer and fewer men who are following God's biblical pattern. Well, Edmund Burke did write that. Well, it depends on who you ask, because the fact checkers are very interesting. It's like so many things in history, many things are said in a similar way by many people. And a lot of times they get their information right out of the Bible. There's a Psalm 34. 1, 2, 3, and they talk about how the wicked will triumph, and there will even be murder and other things. Well, that reminded me of the quote from Edmund Burke, that the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And there's a strong parallel in Psalm 94, 1 So this information is really, so much of it is in the Bible, and it's, and you contemplate what the Bible says, you want to follow it. And that is what our forefathers did, the founders of our country. Now, sometimes the people have adjusted the words so that it turns into a nice little saying. Benjamin Franklin is one for doing that. He has a number of really catchy sayings that we like to listen to. He did a good job. He took the essence of something and made it into a saying that people could relate to. But back to this theme, we have evil happening in the world and we have good happening in the world, and it is important that we cling to the righteousness of Christ Jesus. One of the areas we're seeing that is a deception is for our voting system. Now, for so many years, we said that our vote counts and the vote is extremely important for us to have a representative government. It's hard to change our reality. We know that's the truth. We want it to be true. And yet, if you look, you find quite a few instances of voter fraud. It's been going on for 50 years. I remember reading about it. Well, we have to seek out what is accurate and what is error, because if we don't look, we don't even know how to relate to the world and the lies that are in it. After all, we want to seek truth and follow truth. Now, the more information we have, the more understanding we have, we can adjust our thinking as to what truth is. Take, for instance, Santa Claus. You know that so many children believe in Santa Claus, but as we have gotten older and examined the truth more closely, well, I don't know of any adults who believe in Santa Claus. So obviously, we adjust our view when we learn more information. And we ought to remember that even about votes, our voting system. The more information we get, the more we learn that in the past it has been corrupted. And, 50 years ago passed, but even like a year ago or two passed. Yeah, corruption. And what can we do? We can examine what that corruption is and change it. It's just so astounding to me that we think that the Biden rallies that would draw 100 or more or less people would reflect that he won that office. And Trump, who had rallies and he drew maybe 10,000 people, he lost. I mean, do you really believe that that happened? What do you believe? And what are you willing to stand for? Well, if we allow the lie to stand, it will. Millions of people have searched out the truth about voting, and they don't believe that our votes are accurate anymore. But what gets done about it? Who do we talk to who can do something about it? Do our elected representatives? Do they know? What are they willing to do? I was just thinking of another Thomas Jefferson quote. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never can be. See, we have to be the opposite of ignorant, which is knowledgeable. That doesn't mean educated. It means knowledgeable. And this is something that is essential for our free society. So when we think about the voting machines that went on with the Dominion, where are we getting our information? I remember I talked about this on one of the broadcasts well over a year ago, how the Dominion voting machines in the Philippines were no doubt were rigged. I mean, there was just too much information. So we have a problem with truth and lies in our society. And if we don't promote truth and defend truth, we will end up with lies. We will end up where we can't believe somebody on the phone when they say they are from the IRS or the Border Protection Service or whatever it is. Whatever they say, we cannot believe that they are from the phone company. Why? Because we have let evil creep into our society. Does anybody remember about 6 months ago on Fox News, Maria Bartiromo had an interview with the former director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe. And he said, hundreds of indictments are coming, maybe even thousands, due to the Durham report. Well, so far, I have not noticed any high-level arrests or indictments or any cleanup. Well, yes, some, but not much cleanup of corruption at the highest levels of our government. Now, the reason this goes from one area into the other, it is about morality. It is about truth. It is about lies. And are the voting machines truthful? Or are they lying? The phone people, when we get phone calls, are they truth or are they lies? And now here, the director, former director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe, is talking about truth and lies at the highest levels of our government. And what happens? The lies are there. Are we going to tolerate it? Is this what our society is going to degrade into? Well, John Ratcliffe said that our intelligence community, specifically the FBI, had met with both Obama and Biden and told them about the Hillary Clinton plan of Russian collusion, and that was she was behind the documents of the Steele dossier, and that Trump had no involvement. And therefore, the Trump investigation was illegal. That information was also given to the FBI agent, Peter Strzok. So, wow. All this was done to prevent Trump from becoming president. And the lies continued. The investigations were intended to cripple the Trump presidency. Lies, all lies. We were told about them over and over. And we were told heads would roll. But no high-level arrests have been made that I'm aware of. So my point here is, what kind of a society are you willing to live in? A society where lies are everywhere? Or a society where, as in 100 years ago, people told the truth and they would respect an oath taken on the Bible? It's what are we going to live under? What is the world coming to? Right. No, so far I have not seen any arrests or any, I can't say any. There has been things that have happened. It's just that they're not obvious. So, but it is pretty interesting that there are people who believe a lot has changed, that our government is really heading towards truth and righteousness. And it's really pretty interesting, the people who believe this. They believe that Q is telling them all sorts of things, They believe that there are patriots, and, oh, let me tell you, I just want to make sure that you understand, I'm not saying this. I'm telling you what some small group of people are saying. They are saying that military tribunals have been enacted, and that people who have done immoral things, like they say Hillary and Newsom, have been dealt with, and they might even have been replaced by body doubles. I mean, this is the kind of talk that goes on, and you have to ask yourself, where do they come up with these ideas? There are ideas even about tons of gold being put away, for instance, under the Vatican or under the city of London. And these things are talked about and believed. Why do people believe this? It's because people are searching for what is true and righteous. And the amount of righteousness that exists is so strong, so prevalent, that there has to be another answer. There just has to be. And that's why, now this is me saying this, I don't hear anybody else saying this, but it's my understanding that the people who advocate these things are really seeking righteousness and truth. But it's not available. So they find another source of righteousness, which is, let's call it Q. And so there are people who are working on making things right and having investigations and having military tribunals to enforce righteousness. Is it happening? Well, I don't see evidence for it, but I do hear that people talk about it. They talk about it as though it's real. You'll have to show me it's real, because I don't believe it. But there are people who do. There's things that are so horrible. I mean, if you look at what is going on for real, there's slavery going on for real. There is child... I don't even want to talk about it, what people do to children. It's just horrible and awful. But these things really do happen. And you find out when you find people who have dealt with it in the law enforcement community. But the point is it's real, and people don't want to know that it is there. They want to have righteousness enforced, and so they find a way for righteousness to exist through Q, let's just say. Or they don't want to realize that election fraud is really there, so they have another system that is coming about. One day I expect we will know the true answers, what really happens and what really happened. I don't think we know that now, but there's a lot of dissatisfaction for the immorality that is going on. We see dissatisfaction with a lot of things. People are not happy with what is going on with the COVID crisis, with the lockdowns, with the restrictions, with the businesses that are closed, with society that is closing, with what is going on around the world. People are, they don't like it. They're rebelling and protesting, but the protests have come to nothing. Tens of thousands of people protesting in the big cities of the world, Lima, Peru, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, London, England, Paris, France, Berlin, Germany, just all over, protests by tens of thousands of people. But nothing happens. I wonder why. Why do we have to wear masks still? You know that masks are not good for children. It restricts their development, slows their development down, because they cannot see people's facial expressions. When schools are closed, there again, it slows down the development of children. That's going on. And churches are closing. We are losing our spiritual comfort. Churches. Bernard, the polling group, just said that since 2020, 4,000 U.S. churches have closed their doors. And as many as 20,000 pastors and church leaders have left their jobs. Well, like I said, it's a spiritual battle. Are we surprised that churches are closing? No, because there's a spiritual battle, and we can see what's going on. We are seeing the spiritual hospitals, which is a church, they are closing. Churches are affected everywhere. Even the major, they're called mega churches, they are being affected too. And they might be wondering how their mortgages are going to be paid. It's just a problem all along the line. Big churches, little churches, all churches, people who are believers in Jesus Christ, they are all having a part in this war that is going on between God and Satan, righteousness and evil, good and bad. Yes, it's a war. It's a war that is taking place right in front of you. And you have to remember that you are the target, because Satan wants to hurt people. Satan wants to hurt, kill, and destroy people. And so we have our Christian love that is going to go around and show people that love is stronger than evil. But we have to show it. We have to help people to know that there is a spiritual hospital that they can go to for healing. It's called a church. Well, we have these things that will happen because of the spiritual battle, and this spiritual battle is taking place on many areas. Yes, in our physical world it is going on. In our financial world, it is going on. And that's a part of why we can see that a collapse is coming, because our spiritual strength has diminished. But we can look at the real world reasons for a financial collapse also. They are there. They are all around us. We see them with examples from other countries that where their money has collapsed. So we know the process. We know it'll happen because we are doing the same mistakes that they have all done. We've seen them in the last 100 years or 2,000 years. It's a historical fact. Therefore, we know things will happen. We hear the stories. I just saw one where in Venezuela, it was said the toilet paper now costs 1 million cruzeiros. Oh, was that the unit? No, it was a different name, but it cost 1 million of their dollars. But you look into it and you find out, it's sort of true, but not quite. It was the 4-pack of toilet paper that cost 1 million. That's an example of inflation that happens when a country is destabilized. And we are starting to see destabilization everywhere. And we're starting to see inflation. Why, the official numbers even say that there is something like a 2 or a 5% rate of inflation going to be in this year. Well, that's the official. But if you listen to what business people say, the inflation rate this year will be between 15 and 25%. What a difference. 2 to 5% or 15 to 25%. So, inflation, it's coming. If you look at the prices in the store, you know that. You know very well we are at the beginning of inflation. And other countries have had the same inflation. Some of them have had 100% inflation. Some of them have had 1,000% inflation. And it sure makes things difficult. If you talk to somebody from one of those countries, they will tell you how if anyone was fortunate enough to have a job, they would get paid twice a day. And twice a day, they would go shopping while their money could still buy something before the money was deflated. In one day, they went shopping twice a day before their money was inflated away. So that's what inflation does. Can we imagine it? No, but it has happened in other countries. And so we know it can happen in our country, right here. One of the things that is said that can be done to alleviate the inflation is to have a side hustle or a secondary business. It might be your main business. It might be selling coffee, cups of coffee to people at work when they come out for lunch. It might be selling apples. It might be selling refilled lighters, cookies, or any other kind of food. We would learn quickly if such a situation happened in our country. We would learn to deal with it. We would find our skills and use them. It might be cutting hair or doing nails or mending clothes or repairing shoes, repairing appliances. All these things can be done, and we can sell our services, and we would if that happened in our country. Would be car repairs or trading services. There's always something we can do. In that kind of a situation, everything becomes, well, it's difficult, hard times. The pets disappear from the streets. Any stray dogs or cats are seen as food, and they disappear. People are forced to have high fences around their home with barbed wire on top or glass on top of the wall. That's the way it is in other countries when people are hired to be a security guard for a home and they watch over your home or your chickens or whatever it is. That's what happens in poor countries. It really does. So it could happen here if we were to have that kind of a collapse. It's a natural thing to happen if the circumstances require it. And then every house that you know will have burglar bars on the windows and a security door on every door. If it were to happen here, you know we would get by. We would deal with inflation. We would deal with shortages. It's just what we would do because we are people who survive. That's Americans. But it doesn't mean it's fun, and it doesn't mean it's easy. It means we would get through it. So how do people deal with that? They buy things in advance that don't perish. There's things that everybody would maybe want to buy. They can be for your use or for barter. It could be toilet paper or soap or spices. Oh, and batteries is a good one. Batteries, they last a few years, and the need for batteries is always there. Or get rechargeable batteries. Well, but if you buy things, don't diminish your savings. You will always need to have a little savings. Yes, but don't buy these things on credit because debt is a sure way to lose everything you own. You see, if you have any debt, it attaches from one to another. And if you don't have a job and you default on your loan, the other things can be attached by the courts. It just happens all the time, but we don't see it because we're not in that stage of a society yet. But it sure could happen. Things happen in society always, and that's why we want to get prepared. I mean, just think of, speaking of things happening, we had the huge those storms in I-80 in Virginia, and hundreds of cars and trucks were stuck there for about 20 hours. So that's another reason to have your preparedness kit. Have water and food and warmth in that preparedness kit. And if you ever were stuck out on the road, you would want to have a few things. And I will just mention one of those things we don't talk about, which is you might want to have an adult-sized diaper in your car if you needed it. Because if you're stuck on the road, everybody is a few feet apart. There is no privacy. So think about what you could want to have. Think about how you can ease your situation. And I think water and food are really the big major items in anyone's survival thinking, in anyone's preparedness thinking. Because everyone needs food, everyone needs water, and everyone needs warmth. Beyond that, we think about all sorts of things, and everybody has their own ideas. Things are changing. I mean, we look at cryptocurrency, and that's going to be saving the world. Well, it might. On the other hand, there's 9 countries, most of them little except for China, that have banned any cryptocurrency in their country. You can't have any. So it's something which our Federal Reserve has been studying, cryptocurrency. Will that happen in our country? Will they ban all cryptocurrencies? Well, it's happened before, and it can happen again. So don't be surprised. Get prepared and have a voice in what goes on in your community with your people who make the laws. It's the best thing we can do to have a voice in what goes on. I think of Benjamin Franklin again. He observed, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." So let us deserve our liberty, and let us seek it. And in the meanwhile, we can know that we are in a mission field right in front of us, our very community, our neighborhood, our city, our state, our country. It's all a missionary field, and so many people, half the people now say they don't know if there's a God, and they don't care if there is a God, and that makes America a great big mission field. So thank you for listening. Again, remember, you can always listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And for my free preparedness pamphlet, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Let's pray for one another. Prayer is a big thing. It's so important, and it makes a big difference. So remember to pray for people, for ministries, and for everything you can think of. Pray for God's goodness to prevail. In Jesus' name, amen. Passion that pours out to every nation.